Welcome to another Northwest Herald Football Podcast. I'm sports writer Joe Stevenson, along with his sports editor John Steiff and sports writer Sean Hammond. Our guests today are from Cary Grove. We have head coach Brad Seberg, fullback linebacker Tyler Pennington, and linebacker Kevin Peterson. Guys, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you guys, Cary Grove was 11-2 last year and made it to the Class 7A semifinals, two trips in a row to the semifinals for the Trojans 2 years ago. Of course, they played for the state title. And, Coach, how's everything going through camp so far?
Good. We're about done. So, you know, it's a long 2 weeks. Playing football for the past, whatever it is, 8 or 9 days. You know, it's a lot of wear and tear on the guys' bodies. And at this point, we're kind of getting into that transitional phase from refining what we do and installing anything that might be left to install to getting ready for our first week's opponents. So, but it's gone real good.
For Kevin and Tyler, how's the weather been? It doesn't seem like it's been as hot maybe as some years. I'm sure it's still pretty hot, but have you guys caught a break a little bit on it being not quite so bad, or how are you holding up?
We've definitely gotten a break with the weather a little bit. I mean, yesterday was definitely a hot one. But
very hot.
Yeah. but I'd say it's been a little cooler than years previous.
Yeah, it's been pretty nice. Been pretty manageable, honestly. That's what I can say for myself, and you probably agree with me, but I think the other guys would agree. It hasn't been too bad.
All right, you guys open against Prairie Ridge, obviously one of your biggest games of the season, week one, two teams that were in the state semifinals. Is that a good thing to play a team like that in week one again?
I mean, definitely. It's always good to play good opponents whenever. And I mean, right off the bat, you get to see how good you are and see how well the work has done for you.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this upcoming Friday. It's going to be fun showcasing our talent and being tested on that field. And, you know, that's going to be most of our schedule, honestly. FEC is loaded with talent, and I'm really excited to show what we can do on the field this year and how good of a team we'll be.
You mentioned the FEC there, and for you guys and for Coach, too, you know, there's a lot of good teams in the conference. What's the outlook for you guys, and how do you look at a conference like that?
I think, honestly, just the way we kind of think about practice every day is you have to be your best every practice, every game, and you have to be better every single day. That's kind of been our goal every day, is just get better and improve, because, you know, your opponent is doing the same thing, so you're going to have to get to that next level. You got to always be improving upon yourselves.
Yeah, I think our conference has really collectively improved over the years to have a lot of real solid talent, a lot of very, very well-coached teams. And so, you know, we're playing one of those teams on Friday night, and then we're going to come back and play another team the following Friday and the following Friday after that. And so I think the only approach that we really preach with our guys is a day-to-day approach, because you can't look ahead in any team, anyone in team in particular. And so, we're fortunate to play in such a great conference that, you know, every week is a tough challenge.
How beneficial can that be to you guys when it comes to the postseason, getting pushed like that almost every week?
Yeah, as long as you stay healthy. You know, as long as you stay healthy each week, it does definitely benefit you. You know, the season is so long, and it's such a grind that you really have to be conscious of how many hits the kids are getting each and every day, so that when you get to that point, or if you do get to that point, week 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 and beyond, that you're at full speed and you're at full capacity with your talent. So that's probably the biggest thing, is when you play some challenging teams, you got to come out of it healthy. You know, a couple years ago, we lost our starting running back, Joe Scott, our kicker, week 1 against Wheaton North, and that was a huge loss to our team that year. So you just want to hope that you come out healthy too.
Coach, what did it do for you guys? Two years ago, you had a really senior-laden team, a lot of experience, and we kind of thought you were going to be really good, and you went and played Providence for the 7A state title. You lost so many guys off that, yet last year you still make it back to the semifinals. What does that do for this group with a lot of guys coming back that had that kind of success?
I don't know. I think they probably would be the best to answer that one. From my perspective, I think the common denominator in our program, was there, and I think the kids, year in and year out, buy into what we want them to, and then they perform, and then when you have the results like we've had the last, for a long time now, it just keeps kind of building itself. And so when you have a group of seniors to pass the torch on, it helps out a lot. And last year we had a great group of seniors. We have another real good one this year too.
Guys, what do you think? Tyler?
Regardless of the number of seniors we have, our seniors are always our main leaders on the team. And they always do a great job, just as good as the year before. So, I mean, the number doesn't really matter as much as the quality, quality over quantity, So I think that's the big thing for our program.
Yeah, and I would agree with that. Last year we didn't have a bunch of returning players, but that kind of goes with what Tyler said. Just because we didn't have a whole lot of returning starters didn't mean that we didn't have a bunch of ready-to-go seniors. We had great seniors last year. And I'm really excited for the seniors this year because I know so many of them are hungry to play and so many of them are hungry to showcase their skills on Friday nights this year. So
I'd say one other thing to add to that is when you have a committed group of seniors that display what you're looking for, they're perfect models for the juniors and the sophomores and the freshmen behind them. And that's really kind of how you maintain a high level of play within the program is the other guys see how to practice, they see how to lift weights, they see how to communicate with the coaches, and they see how we coach and they're receptive to our coaching. And then year after year, it kind of builds.
Tyler and Kevin, you guys both play on the defensive end. Correct me if I'm wrong, but we counted six returning starters. How's that unit coming together, and where are you guys at right now?
I think that's right, six returning, about that. Okay. I think we're coming together well as a unit. Like I said before, we've got a hungry group of seniors, and not only seniors, but I think it's more accurate to say just a hungry group of guys that are wanting to play this year, and it's been competitive, it's been hard fighting, and you know what? It's been fun, honestly, and I'm really looking forward to what we have this year. I think we've got a talented group of guys, and I think we've got a lot of potential on the defense this year.
Yeah, we definitely have a good group who's ready to go, but there's still things to work on in this next upcoming week that we're looking forward to improving before week one in the season as we get into it. But yeah, I think we definitely got a good group that's ready to play.
And the first week you'll see another option team, which you see, almost on a daily basis in practice. Is that any advantage? I know, Samson's unlike maybe anybody else you'll see all year, but is there an advantage to that, knowing maybe how to slow the option down a little bit since you're an option team?
I mean, I think it helps definitely with the hardest part about playing an option team is practicing against it and setting up the scout and making sure they run it right. But, I mean, we already have that. We have that built within our program. So, I mean, I think that definitely helps, and our offense runs it very well, so it helps us against teams like PR.
It's definitely a lot easier to prepare for it basically the whole season rather than just for 1 week. So I think definitely that'll help us out a little bit. And, yeah.
Because, Coach, I know you and Coach Shrimp both always say you like it that not as many teams run the option, because when people don't see it as often, it makes it that much more difficult to defend.
Yeah, and the X factor in what they were saying there is that Prairie Ridge's quarterback is – a little different than our scout quarterback. So we may have the scheme, but when you start putting in talented athletes, that's where it's important that on Friday night that you've practiced at a high level so that maybe you can, be as fast as the other team. But yeah, we feel the option puts us in a good situation for our kids. I think if you looked at our offensive line last year, both of our tackles were under 200 pounds. And our guards were about 220 pounds, and our center was about maybe 230 or something like that. So we don't have the big guys. We had Trevor and Michael and Topol a couple years ago, but that was an anomaly. And so for us, the option is best for our kids and for what we want to do.
I always like offensive lineman questions. So tell me a little bit about Addison West. I don't know much about him.
Addison will be a sophomore this year. He played on our sophomore team last year. He's a tackle. He's about 6'2", 245 pounds. He's a very good athlete, moves well. He's strong. He understands our offense pretty well. And the thing about underclassmen is getting them to practice at the level that seniors practice at, the level of urgency. And Addison's getting there. He's a very, very talented offensive lineman.
All right, and you have Colton Rulin back, Nate Hartke, too, on the offensive line. Who else is playing on the line?
Michael Othario is another tackle. And
Caden
Hopel is the other guard.
And Caden was, what did he wrestle at this year, 195, I think? Probably. He was a state qualifier in 195 pounds. So he would round out our offensive line right now.
So you'd say it's similar to last year as far as the size you were talking about outside of Addison, who's at 245, you say?
I think we're a little closer to where we were in 09, where we have a consistent 240 to 230 range there. Caden would be the smallest out of there. He's about 220 pounds, but we're a little bigger than we were last year. We're certainly not the monsters we were a couple years ago, but, in a way, you kind of like the 240, 250-pound undersized guy that may play with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder. And that seems to be the kinds of guys that we get.
Coach, while we're talking about the offense, what's going on at quarterback? Have you made your decision there between it's Bobby Collins and the sophomore Quinn Priester? I know you said that those guys were going to compete for that.
Yeah, they're still competing right now. We'd like to have a decision in place by next week so that, we kind of know who we have coming in. But it's been very, very competitive. Both guys are working very hard. They both are very talented. And that's kind of where that's at right now.
I want to tell you about our sponsor, Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly mystery crate for gamers, geeks, and fans of pop culture, delivering cool and often exclusive items like collectibles, T-shirts, gadgets, and more. This month's theme is from bad guys doing good things for the wrong reason to good guys with questionable tactics. August is the perfect time to explore the anti-hero. Walk the hero/villain line with this 100% exclusive collection of items from DC Comics, Archer, Dark Horse, and Kill Bill that includes two great collectibles, a wearable, and, of course, our monthly tee. And don't forget the pin. There's a $45 value in every crate, and if you go to lootcrate.com/Shaw, that's lootcrate.com/Shaw, and use our promo code Shaw, that's SHAW, you'll get $3 off your first crate.
Tyler, you've had some couple of good years running the ball. Just how do you follow that up now as you look towards this season how do you keep yourself motivated?
I just do the same thing that I've always done. And, I've always just wanted to win games. And, the rushing accomplishments come with it sometimes. And just staying motivated is just trying to reach further and win that state championship and just do what I have to do along the way.
Well, speaking of rushing accomplishments, and I don't know how much – you guys might not look at it like we do. We look at numbers and stuff and where you might project. And it looks like you have a chance to be among the top 10 all-time in IHSA. What history, what would that mean to you to see your name on that list?
I'm definitely aware of it. It'd mean a lot to be on that list, but, it'd definitely mean a lot more to win a state championship for me and to bring success to the team, that aspect of it. Because, I've always just been a team kind of player, and just the success of the team would be more important to me.
Coach, I'll ask you a minute about Tyler. A lot of times we think about the numbers on offense, but what does he do for you guys defensively?
Well, we were kidding this morning amongst our staff that if any one of our defensive staff goes down, Tyler's the next guy to fill in, because he knows what we want to do on defense. And he has such a great understanding of where, not only where he fits in as a linebacker, but where the big picture. And so I think that part of it is a big part of it. Plus, I think the other guys see Tyler's consistency and his work ethic, and on both sides of the ball, that really rubs off on all of our guys. And you know, I mean, I could go on and on about all the things, but I think those would probably be the two things that guys see is the intellect that he brings, and then also the level of play.
While we're talking about him, Tyler, you said this summer you went to some camps, I believe you said Yale and Princeton and Michigan State.
Michigan State.
Yeah. And where are you at right now with schools? Who are you hearing from? Where are you at with that?
I mean, I'm kind of in the same spot. I mean, right now is not the best recruiting time just because our season's starting, their season's starting. So there's kind of a pause right now. But, you know, I'm just kind of playing it out and feeling it out right now and seeing where I am, yeah.
Are colleges looking at you more for defense or offense?
More defensively as a linebacker.
With the changes in the FVC, you guys are only playing one non-conference game now. It looks like it's your second-to-last game. I'm guessing that's homecoming because it's the Saturday game. How does that, I guess, change things for you guys? Or do you like playing more conference games? Is that different at all?
That's a good question. You know, we've had a very difficult non-conference schedule the last 3 or 4 years. You know, last year we played Prairie Ridge and Lake Zurich, both perennially great, great programs, very well-coached teams. The years before that, we played Wheaton North and Lake Zurich, and in 2013, both those teams were quarterfinalists, and Lake Zurich lost in the state championship. So we've had a very challenging non-conference schedule, and we haven't played Crystal Lake Central in a couple years, we haven't played Hampshire in a couple years, and so for us, it's kind of a, like a crossover, where we treated those crossover games like it was conference games, but they're really conference games this year. So I think we have such good quality in the Fox Valley that, we're not going to see a huge change. Plus, we pick up another real good team in South Elgin, too.
Coach, when you came in, Bruce Kay had taken this program to great heights. And what is the challenge for you to have kept it at that level that he had?
Well, it's pretty monumental, and I think I had told you a while ago that I didn't really want the job because I knew what it entailed, and it had one way to go, and that was down. And so I was very hesitant to take the job. I knew the time that Bruce put in. I know that it's such a toll on on your family, and you really have to have so many people on board with that decision. With that said, When I went in, I knew I was all in, and it takes a lot of time, a lot of work. But then, when you come in February and you've worked for 6 or 7 straight days, and then you work with guys that are motivated like our guys are, it really gives you energy, and it really kind of reassures why you're doing the job. But we couldn't do what we do without all of our coaches, without our players buying into the system, and so. The other part of it is I was very fortunate to inherit some real good assistant coaches. And so we've got a great staff at Cary Grove. I know our guys would agree too. So having our assistant coaches in place as well was a huge thing.
When we get late in the year, there's always the discussion just because the way things are set up of what class people are in. You guys were in 7A last year. Do you have a good idea going in this year whether you're going to be 6A or 7A or who you're going to get?
I usually rely on you guys. Your guess is as good as ours. No, it seems like our enrollment's about where it was last year, and we're so on the fence that, a change with Lincoln Way schools, with those three schools now being bigger than us, could bump us down. It's that close. So with where we're at classification-wise, we really don't, honestly, we don't look at it until we get maybe towards week 8 or week 9, and hopefully we're in that situation this year where we're still looking at that stuff. But it's such a crapshoot that we can't really look at it.
Do you then scout both classes heading into the playoffs?
Well, here's the thing about 7A is it's statewide. So, we played Belleville West last year, and there's no way we'd go scout Belleville West, during the regular season. So, you know, what we did last year, and last year was a unique season because of the McHenry strike, our game was canceled that week. So we went out and did some scouting that week I can't remember if it was that week or the week before, because we went to Huntley to watch the Jacobs game as well. But, you know, we did a little bit of scouting there, but typically we don't do a whole lot of it during the season, just because, you know, it's very hard to determine what class we're going to be in for sure.
How has the development of huddle and sharing tape that way kind of changed the scouting process when it gets to the playoffs? Do you have more tape than before?
I don't think we have more tape than before, but we have the ability to break down film so much more thorough, and it makes you more productive. It's like anybody's job. With technology, it allows you to be more productive. So we're able to interchangeably go from, you know, Prairie Ridge versus, you know, this opponent to Prairie Ridge versus that opponent very quickly. When it gets into the playoffs, you know, you may have you may have two or three films, you know, some that you actually took of the team, and then the two that you get in your exchange. And so huddles allowed us to be more productive as a staff. It hasn't changed the way we scout per se, because we still send a crew out to scout teams. I know some teams just rely on the huddle film, which, you know, you certainly could do that. But, you know, there's a lot to be said for physically being there and seeing the game and hearing the game and what's going on.
What do you get out of physically being there? Do you get a better sense for, like, speed or actual size, or how does that help?
We'll get that. You know, our guys will assess the size of the other players. A lot of times it's for special teams where you don't get the numbers a lot of times. So many teams now where black on red, or, you know, like, you know, Huntley is a very tough team to see what their numbers are. So when we go and scout, we physically want our coaches there to see what the numbers are, because we can't pick them up from film. So that's a big part of it. And then you want to see how the players interact. You want to see how, you know, who's the leader on the team. You can pick that up when you're there. Another thing you can't pick up on just film is the speed that teams run plays. In huddle, it's a bunch of cut-ups of plays, but it doesn't show you how fast they get to the line of scrimmage. So there's a lot of things that are involved that we still value and send a staff out and go and do the scouting.
When you're talking about those cut-ups, are you the technical guru putting that together, or do you have somebody that does that, or is it done for you? How does that work?
We're pretty much all hands on deck. So all of us are fairly adept with computers, and, you know, a coach will take a game, and then we just kind of collectively do it that way. We're not at the point where we have a tech guy that just does the tech stuff.
That'd be a good job for you, John Solly, right? No. All right, Tyler, I think this is your fourth time going through summer camp. Were you with varsity before your freshman year, too, in camp?
For a little bit, yeah.
All right, so what's the comparison? I'm sure every year is a little different. What's different about this year?
I mean, honestly, they're all kind of the same. Because, I mean, our offense is the same, our defense is the same. So, I mean, it gets repetitive, but you just got to come with the same attitude every day and stay focused and just keep building towards that goal. Take it day by day.
What did you learn from those first three times going through it that you can use to your advantage now with the fourth time?
You got to be all in. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. You have to be all in to survive it, because, I mean, it's hard. It's doubles are tough, and it's hot, like always. And, you know, you just got to grind through it. And once you get to the season, it's a little bit smoother.
One of the things that that Joe always talks about with your defense, I'll put this on him right now, is, you know, you guys aren't huge, but you've got a lot of guys back in the secondary, and you've got a lot of speed. I guess, tell us how that works. Why are you so effective for, I mean, not being a huge team?
I think it's just we are – every single day we are coached and coached to be relentless. We are – when the ball is thrown, defensive linemen, go and sprint after the ball. Secondary, get on that football. And it's not so much that it's something special with our guys. It's what we're coached to do every single day. So for us, it's habit. You know, we've just got a relentless mindset, and that's just kind of the way we're brought up as players at Cary Grove.
What types of things are your coaches telling you? How are they getting that to become a habit for you guys?
Oh, you know. loafs equals sprints at the end of practice. Down-ups, many down-ups if you screw up on a play. I mean, depending upon how bad your screw up is, of course. You know, it's just kind of like those little things, not to the point where it's over the top, but it's to get you back to focus more and be able to learn from your mistakes and become a better player, as, you know, we try and do every single day.
Well, guys, thanks a lot. This has been a lot of fun, and we're really looking forward to this season. I've had the week one circled on my calendar for a long time, and it wasn't too much trouble picking which game I wanted to go to in the opening week. So thanks a lot, and good luck with the season.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.